All right. Amen. There we go. We got lights. Awesome. Hey, you might notice we're missing a huge section of folks here. Our youth are at camp. I want to encourage you to keep praying for them. Their last night of worship together is tonight. We've already had two kids that have come to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior this week. We've had lots of fruitful conversations. So, man, just be in prayer for our kids. Be in prayer for our counselors that are with them. And I'll get to see those guys this afternoon. So, super excited about that. Listen, if you have your Bibles, open up with me to Psalm 51. Psalm 51, that's where we're going to be this last week of this series called Abide. And what we've been learning is the importance of remaining in Jesus, right? And so this series is based on Galatians 5 and John 15. John 15, Jesus says, I'm the vine, you're the branches. If man remains in me and I in him, he'll bear much fruit. But apart from me, on your own, man, you can do nothing. And so we're talking about spiritual fruit. That's the life we want to live. Most Christians say they want to live a life that impacts eternity. They want to live a life of significance. But so often, we choose to live in the flesh. We try to do things our way, and then we get frustrated when we look at our lives and we don't see a lot of spiritual fruit. And so that's what this series is all about, reminding us to spend time with the Lord, to abide in Jesus. And we said there's really four keys to that, right? Prayer. It's key to any relationship is, right, talking, communication. And the Bible says we should pray without ceasing, studying God's Word. If we want to hear from God, we should read His Word. It's spoken. It's alive. It's active. It's sharper than a double-edged sword. When you read the Bible, it reads you back. And so if you'll spend time reading God's Word, it matters. And then once we read it, of course, we have to obey it. We actually have to do what it says. And obedience is such a key in the Christian life to unlock the blessing of God. And then lastly, it's this learning to follow the Holy Spirit's leading. I call that the art of Christianity. The other stuff is kind of science. It's do this, do this, do that. We like those things. We like checklists. But man, learning when the Holy Spirit is talking, learning when He's whispering, learning when He's tugging, when He's pointing in a direction, that takes a little bit of practice. And that's what we're called to do. And so those are those four keys. Well, this morning, we're going to look at the very last of this fruit of the Spirit, the fruit of self-control. Okay, so here's what I want you to do. I want you to pray with me. I'm also going to want you to grab a bulletin. So Bibles, we're in Psalm 51 bulletin. If you did not get a hard copy like this to take notes, then we're going to ask you to scan that QR code and take notes. Yes, we do take notes. We have that expectation. And so members, I know you. I'm looking at you. If I don't see you jotting something down, and why? Because it's worship. Worship is about participation. The Word of God is meant to change us. The way that happens is that we study it. And so we come and we hear the preaching of the Word. We go home. We talk about it. We think about it. I was so blessed this week. I heard there was a family, and they're not in a small group yet, so they're trying to figure out how to get plugged into a group. But they said, like, hey, but every week we go home and we talk about the sermon. Like, yeah, that's your first small group. That's mini small group 101. It's so huge. And so I'm going to pray for our time in God's Word, and then we're going to jump in together. Father, thanks for loving us and allowing us to gather here in Jesus' name. God, we are a people that are in need. And Lord, I pray that you'd forgive us for so often we act like we are not. For so often we try to just be in control. We try to run things pretty tight-fisted. But God, we are in need. Holy Spirit, as a church, we're in need. And we ask right now, Holy Spirit, you'd come and take your place in our pulpit, that you would teach us about this Jesus from the inside out, that you would talk to us about how remaining in Jesus can give us what we long for, and that's lives of spiritual significance. Teach us about this fruit that lasts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, guys, this morning, we're just going to kind of jump in with both feet. There's three things that I want to share with you when we talk about self-control. And before we can get to that, we have to kind of start with a hard truth. But here it is. Guys, I want you to know that as creatures born into sin, we crave twisted and depraved things. Okay? It's kind of where our story starts. As creatures that are born into sin, we actually crave twisted and depraved things, right? So sin enters the Bible story very early. If you start in the book of Genesis, God makes everything. He speaks it into being. He makes man in His own image. In His own image, He creates him. Male and female, He creates him. So he makes Adam out of the dust and breathes His life into him. And He says there's no suitable helper found for Adam. And so He puts him into a great sleep. And from His side, He takes a rib from which He creates Eve. And she isn't taken from His head that she might rule over him. or his feet that he might trample over him, but his side that she might be his equal, under his arm that she might be protected by him, near his heart that she might be loved by him, right? And so these two become one flesh, and God unites them in marriage, and it's amazing. And God is there, and God gives them everything that they need for life, for real life, for abundant life, for full life. They are killing it. It is great. It's so good that God himself, the God that we long to see, the invisible God, is visible to them. And they're able to walk with God in the cool of the day and talk to God in person, no separation. And it is great, but there is another there, a tempter. We call him the devil. Some people call him Satan. He's a fallen angel named Lucifer who's taking the form of a serpent. And there, in that place of perfection, he begins to sow seeds of doubt. Maybe you came in this morning and the tempter has been sowing seeds of doubt in your mind, in your heart, and those seeds went something like this: God is holding out on you. See, God had only given them one rule. Hello, that sounds amazing. By the way, in Christ, we only have two. But he gave them one rule, and that rule was, whatever you do, man, enjoy this. You're over this. This is for you. But don't eat from the tree in the center of the garden, the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And God says, if you eat from it, you'll die. And Satan gets in their ear and says, listen, here's what God's really trying to do. He's trying to keep you from being like him. He knows that if you eat from that tree, your eyes will be opened, and then you'll know everything, like he knows everything. He just doesn't want you to be like him. See, he's holding out on you. And Adam and Eve, they look at the fruit, and they consider the fruit, and then they decide, yes, we want that. And so they take the fruit, and they eat of it, and in that moment, everything changes. Sin enters the world, and everything changes. Their relationship with God changes. When they had run to God, now they're hiding from God. They had cleaved to one another, now they're pointing fingers and blaming one another. They see each other, and they're ashamed. They cover themselves up what was meant to be good. And this thing called sin, it affects everything. All of the earth is cursed, the Bible says. And from this point forward, all of humanity will be plagued by this thing called sin, and our very nature will have a bent in it towards the evil that we now see. So Adam and Eve are cast out of the garden. Right? They're cast out of the garden. And listen, this new influence, this new power, this new trapping of evil, the Bible talks about it from page to page. David picks up on it in Psalm 51. If you have your Bibles, I'm in Psalm 51, starting in verse 1. King David writes, "Be gracious to me, God, according to your faithful love, according to your abundant compassion, blot out my rebellion." He's admitting rebellion. "Completely wash away my guilt and cleanse me from my sin." He's admitting sin. He says, "For I am conscious of my rebellion, and my sin is always before me. Against you and you alone have I sinned and done this evil in your sight. So you are right when you pass sentence. You are blameless when you judge." And get this, verse 5, I'll put it on the screen. He says, "Indeed, I was guilty when I was born. I was sinful when my mother conceived me." What's he talking about? He's talking about his nature. His natural bent from the moment that he was born was sin, right? Listen, Adam and Eve were created in the image of God. That's what it says, Genesis 1:27. It says, so God created man in his own image, and he created them in the image of God. He created them male and female. We were created in the image of God, but listen, by chapter 5 of the Bible, we read a very different description. By chapter 5, it's talking about Adam and Eve and their son Seth, be their third born. It says this, it says Adam was 130 years old when he fathered a son in his likeness, according to his image. Genesis 1:27 says that we were made in the image of God, but Genesis 5:7 says that Seth was made in the image of Adam. Do you see the difference? Do you feel the difference? From the moment that sin enters the world, everything changes, including our very nature. right? Including our very nature. The Apostle Paul declares in the book of Romans, Romans 5:12, therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man and death through sin, in this way death spread to all people because all of us have sinned. That's why Romans 3:23 says the wages of sin is death. Or all have fallen short of the glory of God. I'm sorry, 6:23, the wages of sin is death. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That's who the Bible says we are, okay? Because we are all people that have been born into sin. We're all people that have been born into sin. And as such, our nature itself is sinful. That is why the I'm a good person argument never works. But I'm a good person. Like, listen, you may do more good than other people, but you're not a good person. We are all sinful. Our nature has a bent towards sin. And y'all, as such, we crave sinful things. I want that word to stick with you this morning. We crave sinful things. That's not a pretty word. It's not meant to be. It's on purpose, I believe, that we have a craving for sinful desires. That language may not sit well with you, but it is the truth. Listen to the Apostle Paul in Ephesians 2. Ephesians 2:3, Paul writes, we too all previously lived among them in our fleshly desires, carrying out the inclinations of our flesh and thoughts, and we were by nature children under wrath, as the others were also. You guys read that and go, well, that's not that bad. I agree, that's not that bad. It's just a bad translation. I love the CSB. That's why I preach out of it. CSB is an interesting translation. It tries to be a thought-for-thought translation where that's required. It tries to be a word-for-word translation where you really need to grasp the heaviness of the words, but here it kind of misses it. So I want you to see the heaviness of what Paul is writing. I'm going to put the Amplified version on the screen for you because I believe it picks up more on the original language. Among these, we all as well, as you once lived and conducted ourselves in the passions of our flesh, our behavior governed by our corrupt and sensual nature. That's the heaviness of it. Our nature was corrupted by the fall. It says, obeying the impulses of the flesh and the thoughts of the mind, get this, our cravings that are dictated by our senses and our dark imaginings. We were then by nature children of God's wrath and heirs of his indignation like the rest of mankind. I want you to see those words, fleshly desires, cravings of the flesh. Listen, guys, when I talk about this sin nature, I want you to know that it's like an animal instinct. You know what I'm talking about, guys? An animal instinct. I tell the story. Many of you have been with me almost my whole time here at the church, 14 years. And so maybe you've heard this story before. We have new faces all the time, so many haven't. But there's a story of how the Inuit people kill a wolf. And the way they do that, the way they kill a wolf is they take a knife and they sharpen it up really, really sharp, like razor sharp. And then they dip that knife in a rabbit's blood and they freeze it. And they dip it in blood again, and they freeze it in blood again, and freeze it blood again. They make a big blood popsicle, rabbit blood popsicle, and then they go stick it outside, and they wedge it between rocks so that it can't be moved. And the wolf has such a great sense of smell that they can smell this from so far away, and they just come longing for that blood, and they begin to lap up that blood popsicle, right? And their hot tongue begins to melt the blood, and man, once they taste it, that craving kicks in, and just faster and faster, they're licking and licking and licking, and what happens is it's so frozen, they're licking so fast, that blood is melting on their tongue, they want it so much, but their tongue becomes numb, and after a while, all the blood is melted away, and they're just licking the knife. And it's their own blood that they're tasting, and they desire it so much that they sit there and keep at it and keep at it until they themselves bleed out. The Bible says that is how strong our craving for sin is. It's that strong. It's like an animal's instinct. I know that is ugly. I know that might be an uncomfortable truth, but that is the truth of God's word. As creatures born into sin, we crave twisted and depraved things. So we start. Okay? Second thing I want you to know is that becoming a new creation in Christ does not get rid of our old nature. Becoming a new creation in Christ doesn't get rid of our old nature. When we believe in Jesus, we call on Him to save us. The Bible says that at that moment we are born again, that we are born of the Spirit. Jesus talks about this as a new birth. In John chapter 3, verse 5 and 6, He's speaking to Nicodemus. He says, "Truly, I tell you, unless someone is born of the water and of the Spirit, he can't enter the kingdom of God. Whatever is born of the flesh is of the flesh, but whatever is born of the Spirit is born of the Spirit." He's like, you've got to be born again. It's a new birth. Paul talks about this newness by saying it's like becoming a new creature or a new creation. He says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has passed away, and see, the new has come." Now, many hear that, and they wrongly assume when they read the old has passed away, they assume that it is gone. It's gone. You don't ever have to deal with it. But that's a wrong assumption. If you read the writings of the guy that wrote that book, his name is Paul, I want you to listen to what Paul says about his new nature in Christ versus his old nature of the flesh and the battle that waged within him. It's in Romans chapter 7, verse 18 through 20. He says, "For I know that nothing good lives in me, that is in my flesh." He's a new creation, but the flesh is still there. Anybody experiencing this in their walk with Jesus, right? And you're frustrated, and sometimes you feel like, well, I must not really be saved because I'm struggling with these things, and surely I wouldn't fight like this if I was really saved. Come on, am I speaking to anyone this morning? Right? But listen to the Apostle Paul. "I know that nothing good lives in me that's in my flesh. The desire to do what is good is with me, but there is no ability to do it, for I do not do the good that I want to do, but I practice the evil that I don't want to do. Now, if I do what I don't want, I'm no longer the one that does it, but it is the sin that lives in me." He ends with, "Oh, what a wretched man I am." Paul is talking about two natures waging war within him. So here's the question, friends. Which nature wins? Which nature wins? In you. In the fight you're in right now, and you're in a fight. In the fight you're in right now, which nature wins? I heard an evangelist when I was up in Borger, Texas, 5 years way, way, way up in the panhandle. And he came through and he was talking about this exact thing. And I love his analogy. And this is what he says. He says, "You want to know which nature wins? Verse the new and the old? Whichever one you feed." He said, "Here, let me give you an analogy." He said, "Imagine that there's a couple of pups. They're brothers. Twin brothers, bulldogs. And one's just born with a little bit more of a white hue. The other one's kind of got that pretty reddish copper hue that you see sometimes in dogs. Just really stand out. I've got a dog like that. She's, every time we take her out, people are like, oh, she's so beautiful." Right? So you've got one that's kind of got a white coat and one that's kind of got a reddish orange coat. And man, they are evenly matched. You know dogs, they go at it all the time. They're constantly fighting. And as they grow up, they're always challenging each other, raising up and they're the same size and they're the same strength. And they just go at it and they go at it and they go at it. They're evenly matched. But imagine what happens if I decide that I'm going to stop feeding one of them. I'm going to starve one of them, but I'm going to feed the other. Which dog wins? We're in church. Y'all can talk. The one you feed. The one you feed. And y'all, the more I read my Bible, the more I am convinced that a huge part of our spiritual walk is learning to starve the old nature, the flesh, while we feed the Spirit. And that when we do that, we begin to experience the freedom that Jesus has for us. Which kind of brings me to our last point this morning. I think we're doing good on time. Last thing, I want you to know that if we constantly abide in Jesus, throwing off our old nature and walking in our new nature, we can have control over our sinful cravings. We're talking about self-control. Maybe you're here this morning and you kind of feel like that Christian failure. Right? You relate to the words of Paul. You're like, I don't know about other people in the room. I came to church, but I feel like a failure. I feel like I'm constantly falling. I'm doing the things that I don't want to do. I feel horrible about it. Maybe you even kind of question whether or not you should show up this morning. Maybe that's you. I just want to say, like, listen, it is possible to have control over the flesh, but the only way to do it is by abiding in Christ. That's it. Right? We've got to abide in Christ. We've got to constantly spend time with Him, throwing off our old nature, starving the old nature, walking in our new nature. If we do that, we can have this thing called control. So we just talked about Paul's honest words in Romans 7, 18 through 20, where he talks about not just doing the things he hated, like not doing the things he wants to do. Talked about that battle between the two natures. Now I want you to listen to his instruction about those things, how he teaches other Christians to deal with this war within them. Ready? Ephesians 4, 22 through 24. He writes, take off your former way of life, the old self that is corrupted by deceitful desire. That's exactly what we're talking about, right? That is exactly, we're talking about the old nature. So he's writing Christians, hopefully that's us, he's saying, hey, listen, so now that you're this new creation, here's some instruction, you've got to make a choice every day. And here's the choice, ready? You've got to take off the old way of life. You've got to take off the old self. It's corrupted by its deceitful desires. And you have to be renewed in the spirit of your minds. I think Romans 12, 1. How are we renewed? We're renewed by our minds, by God's word. Okay, I love you. If you are in your old way of life, if you're choosing to walk in the old self, it's largely because you've probably believed in your mind a lie. Maybe you thought, like Adam and Eve, that God is holding out on you. Well, God, I've been praying and He just hasn't provided, so I've just got to do it. I've got to pull myself up by the bootstraps. I've got to make it happen. That's your old self, right? Maybe you just believe that God is mad at you or God couldn't love you or we bought into something. It's led to the lies. So what do we do? We have to start thinking the right thought again. So our minds have to be renewed. We have to hear what God says. We have to get in the Word of God. And the Word of God refreshes our mind. It is true. So if whatever I'm thinking does not line up with Scripture, which one is wrong? Our mind. Not God's word. So I take God's word, the truth, and I replace whatever I'm thinking. Right? So my mind is renewed. And now I've got to take off the old way of life. So I begin to starve that out. I begin to push that aside. It's corrupted. I know it. And so then I have to put on the new self. The one created according to God's likeness and righteousness, purity of truth. So there's something that has to happen in me. And then, of course, there's that passage we've been discovering and discussing for the last 10 weeks, Galatians 5. Paul says, I say then, walk by the Spirit, and you will certainly not carry out the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is against the Spirit, and the Spirit desires what is against the flesh. These are opposed to each other so that you don't do what you want. So how do I put off the old and put on the new? I make a choice to walk in the Spirit every day. I choose to say, God, I want to hear from you, and I want to follow you, and what you say I will do. Remember last week we said, what is the most powerful position a Christian could have? It's on their knees saying, Father, not my will, but your will be done. That's the heart of all of it. That's the heart of all of it. And if we do this, here's the fruit. One last slide. The fruit of the Spirit, if we'll do that, is love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness. And there it is. Self-control. When I speak to Christians, sometimes I feel like this is the thing that needs to maybe be said first, but it probably should be said last. In our war in the flesh, I think many of us want, we desire self-control, but we want really easy ways to it. Amen? I just want a program for my phone. I just want something I could put on my computer. I just need, and listen, those things aren't bad. But the key to victory in the Christian life is Christ. Can I say that again? The key to victory in the Christian life is Christ Himself. You cannot be like Jesus without Jesus. So walk in the Spirit, and you won't gratify the cravings of the flesh. You will have the control you desire to have over your body. But the only way you get it is by abiding. So I want to talk about some application. Now, you guys are used to three. I'm giving you five, so I'm watching my time. You got 9 minutes, all right? Five things, 9 minutes. Here we go. Number one, make sure you've done that. Receive Jesus as Lord, right? Guys, this is spiritual fruit. You don't get spiritual fruit without being born of the Spirit of God. That's how it works. And so we're talking about spiritual things. That's what Jesus says to Nicodemus. Nicodemus, I'm telling you, you've got to be born again. You have to be born of the Spirit. You cannot do this in the flesh. And by the way, if you try to, if you're one of those people that tell me, well, I was raised in church, I've been in church my whole life. If you've done that, you've done religion, but you've never actually given your life to Jesus, you are miserable. And you feel like a failure. You're exhausted because it is exhausting. It's exhausting. I bet if I asked you to raise your hands right now, there's a lot of you that have given your life to Christ, but you consistently try to do it on your own. You're exhausted, aren't you? Even youth grow weary, God's word says. Even youth. So what we need is that fresh Spirit of God to renew our strength, to help us rise up on wings like eagles. So first and foremost, receive Jesus as Lord. Man, if you've never done that, it is not an impossible thing. I 27 years ago, I was at a church camp, and I was a mess. I went as a sponsor. I thought I knew it all. I thought I'd been saved. I had not. And I had this face-to-face meeting with Jesus, and I knew I had to give my life to Him. And I prayed. It was probably a pretty dumb prayer, but it was like, Jesus, my life's a wreck. I want you to take control. That was it. I mean, I don't know that that's the most theological prayer you've ever heard, but it worked. And in that moment, I knew the Holy Spirit came to my life. I knew that I was changed. I knew that I was going into ministry. I knew that I was supposed to marry my wife, which is a weird thing to know at that moment. I wrote it in a note. We'd been dating for 4 days. It's not awkward or stalkerish. It was fine. It's great. So start there. It doesn't have to be a simple prayer. Cry out to Jesus. He'll honor that. Number two, examine your life. Guys, if you lack self-control and you are a believer, then here is why. You are not abiding in Christ. Period. If you're abiding in Jesus, if you're walking in the Spirit, you won't gratify the cravings of the flesh. So if you're being run and you're like Paul, I'm constantly doing the things I don't want to do. Well, Paul, what's the answer? Well, I have to abide in Christ. That's what Paul would say. I need to walk in the Spirit. That's the only way I get freedom, right? And so examine your life. They're not meant to beat you up, but it's meant to be honest. If there's any area of your life that you know that you lack control in right now, it is a spiritual issue. That is the answer, all right? So examine your life. Turn those things over to Christ. Number three, commit to spending consistent time with Jesus, a.k.a. abiding in Christ. Like, just commit to it. That's your answer. Consistent time with the Lord. And when we don't do this, hey, anybody ever just kind of do this? Anybody? Like, you check it off the list, but you know you didn't really do it? Come on. I'm the only believer that does this. You fake your time with Jesus. I'm the only one? Come on. You woke up, you kind of read a passage, you hopped in the car, you went on, you knew you weren't doing good, so you even turned on some Christian music, right? But you're thinking fleshly things the whole time. Anybody else? Only sinner in the room. Yep, we all do it, right? Because we, like, no, that is not the answer. Every time my flesh says, hurry. Every time my flesh says, rush. Every time my flesh says, you've got this. Every time my flesh says, oh, I don't want to do that. I've got to stop and go, no, have I done this? If I want people to see Jesus in me, I have to spend time with Jesus. Period. If you want a life full of spiritual fruit, you must remain in Christ. That is the answer. I know you guys have looked at me for 10 weeks going, that's too simple, Pastor. Well, it's the Bible. It's how it works. Okay, number four. I wanted to add a couple of things this week. Because when we talk about self-control, a lot of these fruits of the Spirit, I really believe it's just about you and the Lord. This one I have found when it comes to self-control, this is helpful. Now, I want to say this to you. I love you guys. You like to feed the old dog, all right? So I love you. So some of you are going to try to get an accountability partner, and you're just going to feed the old dog and be like, I got this. Because you don't want to spend time with Jesus, because that thing in you, the flesh in you, actually likes it and doesn't want to see it dead. You don't want to starve it out, because you like some of whatever comes with it. You hate it, but you also like it. That's how jacked up you are. So you're going to get an accountability partner, and you're going to say, hey, accountability partner, hold me accountable. But you're not actually going to be spending time with Jesus. So this guy is supposed to keep your flesh in check. That doesn't work. But let me tell you what can work. If you have an accountability partner, somebody that you love and trust, and you can say anything to, and they will not kick you to the curb. And you have that kind of deep relationship, that person can say to you, I know you and I love you, and you cannot tell me that you're spending the time with Jesus you need to right now. And it'll hurt. But that's the answer. When they say, hey, how are you really doing? And you throw out all the anxiety and fear that you're grappling with, and then they look at you and go, where's Jesus in that? That's accountability, and it matters, and it helps. It's not somebody to just beat you up every time. It's somebody just to go, man, you know the answer. Spend time with Jesus. Let's stop what we're doing right now. Let's just do it right now. Let's pray together. Right? How what do you need me to do? You want me to call you every day? You need to see if you're spending time in the Word. Should we get together once a week and just make sure that we're both spending time with Jesus? Not just checking a list. But I mean, how was that praying without ceasing going for you this week? Tell me all the times that you didn't. What can we do to help? Like, it's accountability. This is, of all the fruit of the Spirit, y'all, this is the one that I find it really helps if you have somebody. Now, you don't have to have 50 people. And it needs to be a trusted person. But there is probably somebody in your life you know. And they're a brother or sister in Christ, and they can help you here, okay? So that matters. Number five, try practicing self-control in a physical area of your life and see how it translates to the spiritual. Now, this is me just loving you and sharing what's worked for me, okay? Believe it or not, sometimes pastors, study the Bible a whole lot and then are like, ugh. Get up on the morning, we feel the same struggle you do, right? And we just, like sometimes that's a thing. Here's one of the things that I've realized about my own life. When I go through, I got the whole middle-aged guy thing going on. So I think my metabolism stopped about 7 years ago. And, so whatever it is that you have to try to get things in line and right. So I'll go through these phases where I'll be like, dude, like I can be so good, y'all. Sugar, listen, you want to talk about the flesh, okay? That wolf, that's me and a lollipop, all right? Let's go, all right? I mean, cheesecake, oh, every time, we just had a graduation party, and my wife's like, we're going to have a candy buffet, and it all came back to my house. I'm like, somebody take the Laffy Taffy for crying out loud, right? Just consume it, right? And that is, man, I'm just telling you, I love that stuff. It's not good for me. Like, it doesn't make me feel great. And so I'll go through here soon. I'm already planning it out. When's my sugar purge? When am I going to stop all the sugar? When am I going to, I'm going to cut out bread when I do it, because otherwise I'll substitute it and be like, just give me a bun on everything. And because then that turns into sugar, right? You guys know this, right? Basic. Okay, anyway. So I'll cut out that stuff. And here's what I find. When I'm being super disciplined in some of those areas, I've just found that stuff often translates to other parts of my life. Now, I'm not saying it will for you, but I'm saying maybe you should try it, right? If you're struggling in a spiritual area, maybe there's something physical you could cut out for a period. By the way, there's a biblical term for that. We call that fasting. Some prayer should be involved. You miss it. You want it. You're supposed to pray. Go, God, why do I want it so much? Why am I? Oh, I don't want to be controlled by anything other than you. And here I am, right? And it matters. So you don't have to take this last one as gospel. This is just your pastor giving you something that's worked for him. All right, try it. If you really want self-control, try it. Guys, I pray that this series has been good for you. I pray that it's been meaningful. And most of all, I pray that you would realize that it doesn't stop today. This is our call in Christ. To abide, to surrender, to submit, to choose his way over our way. And if we do, we can live the lives of significance that our hearts long for. All right? Can I pray for you this morning? All right, bow your heads. Lord, we're gathered here as your kids, And we've studied your word, but now we need your spirit to bring conviction and encouragement and life. Father, if there's anyone here that has never experienced new life in your Son, Jesus Christ, I pray today would be the day that they would cry out in a very simple prayer, Jesus, forgive me of my sins and come into my life, take control. And that through that prayer, they would become a new creation today. God, for every brother or sister here that is feeling that war between that new creation and that old self, I pray this morning by your Spirit that you would encourage them to feed that new nature and to starve out that old one, to daily throw off the old and to put on the new by abiding in you, Jesus. And Lord, give them some help. God, put somebody in their life that'll come alongside of them, that will love them, not judge them, but will love them in a hard way when they need it, and that will remind them that you are the answer. God, our world needs you. And the answer isn't going to come through a political office. The answer isn't going to come through a new program. The answer is going to come through your people. That's your chosen method. When your people submit to your Spirit and choose to actually be the light of the world you've called them to be, then the world will change. And then you'll return. God, use us that might happen. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.